KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Kevin Winter. It was earlier this summer when the blockbuster news came out that Kyrie Irving had had enough playing second fiddle to LeBron James and he wanted out of Cleveland. Even when the Cavaliers introduced new general manager Kobe Altman this summer, the bulk of the press conference was centered around Kyrie Irving. And now this bombshell. The Cavs are nearing a deal to trade Kyrie Irving to the Boston Celtics, the team they met in the NBA's Eastern Conference Finals. The deal would be Irving for Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder, Ante Zizek, and draft picks. The story was first reported by The Vertical, confirmed by ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski. Irving is 25. He's got 2 years left on his deal with the player option for 2019-2020. Thomas is 28 years old, and he will be a free agent at season's end. Multiple reports had indicated Thomas was looking for a max contract from Boston, and Boston had been a little hesitant at giving him one. Also, according to a source, Thomas has been bracing for the possibility of a trade today. ESPN front office insider Bobby Marks is going to join Jalen and Jacoby as soon as I am done right here on ESPN Radio. Again, the Cavs and Celtics working on a deal where they would swap all-star point guards among other pieces. Major League Baseball news. The Dodgers have put Cody Bellinger on the disabled list with a sprained right ankle. He had been out of the lineup the last three games. Alex Wood also hits the disabled list. He's got an AC joint injury. The Indians put reliever Andrew Miller on the DL and starter Danny Salazar too.
Houston is one of the teams with a QB battle between a veteran and a rookie. When will they decide who the starter is? We'll ask Texans head coach Bill O'Brien when he joins Mike and Mike Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and purchase 5 quarts of Castrol high-mileage motor oil for the same price as Castrol conventional, just $21.95. Plus, earn 100 O-Rewards points when you purchase 5 quarts of Castrol high-mileage motor oil. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
At Lowe's, we know that pros need to be ready. Ready with supplies and ready to get to work. Which is why Lowe's has everything a pro needs for less. Every day at Lowe's, pro customers can get up to 10% off select A. O. Smith water heaters when they buy in bulk. And now through September 3rd during Lowe's Ready to Restock event, pros can get up to 10% off select Dow foam insulation. Visit the Pro Desk or lowesforpros.com for details. Minimum purchase required for water heater discount. Selection varies by store, U.S. only.
Buescher will stay put for next season and beyond. I'm Kyle Rickey. That story next on NASCAR Today.
Be a part of summer's last big party. Chicagoland Speedway hosts 4 days of tailgating, music, and racing. Get ready for the top drivers in NASCAR, the biggest names in music, and an electrifying weekend at Chicago's Fastest Loop, September 14th through 17th. This is an event you and your friends do not want to miss. Get your tickets now at ChicagolandSpeedway.com. Chicagoland Speedway, the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series playoffs. Start here.
I'm Steve Letarte, STP auto expert and former crew chief. I know what it takes to keep engines performing at their best. STP's latest breakthrough additive, STP Ultra 5-in-1 Plus Fuel System Cleaner Plus Fuel Stabilizer, delivers 3 times the amount of cleaning agents versus premium gasoline and helps keep fuel fresh during storage. For over 60 years, STP has been on the cutting edge developing products to help engines run better, longer.
One bottle contains 3 times by weight the amount of cleaning agents compared to 20 gallons of the leading premium gasoline.
Chris Buescher is in the middle of his first full year with JTG Doherty Racing, joining the team at the beginning of the season as a teammate to AJ Allmendinger. The team has announced that Buescher will remain with the team for the next several Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series seasons, and for good reason, according to team co-owner Tad Geschechter.
This guy is in the shop more than any other driver we've ever worked with. He stays in the hall, he looks at his throttle traces, his dart fish, he's always talking with his team. He's just a great leader.
And Roush Fenway Racing announced today a contract extension with sponsor Sonny D through the 2019 season with their driver Ricky Stenhouse Jr. who has won two races this season and will be a part of the 16-driver playoffs. For more, visit MRN.com. I'm Kyle Rickey. This is NASCAR Today on the Motor Racing Network.
Welcome back. It is 6:05, hour number three of the Todd Brommelkamp Show, coming your way with Alex Kuhne and producer Kyle Mann. We do still have the Fry Fest wristbands for you today as well. Four of them, to be exact. Fry Fest Friday, September 1st, next Friday, the day before Iowa takes on Wyoming at Kinnick Stadium. This gets you into the post-Fry Fest, post-trade show, I guess, because the whole thing is Fry Fest. The post-trade show concert with the Pork Tornadoes, among other things. Make sure you stop on and check out, well, we'll be doing the show there from 4 until 7. Swing by the booth and make sure that you say hi. We will have Mitch King with us in the 6 o'clock hour, Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com. It's the debut of what I like to call the Big Hour on Fridays, going through football season as we take a look at Iowa's opponent for the coming week and the rest of the Big Ten, and you're going to want to not miss that at the Fry Fest. The trade show part is located in the Convention and Visitors Center, the Convention Center at the Coralville Marriott. Ed Creech from MLBTradeRumors.com is going to be with us coming up in just a little bit. Text line wants to know when I became the crotchety old dude. Lighten up, man. That's 3594. I don't really like where youth sports has headed. I don't like what youth sports has become, and I think ESPN televising the Little League World Series had a lot to do with that. And I also kind of cringe at teenage boys talking about having a crush on their teacher and thinking, how would we react to the reverse of that situation? I think it would be a little bit more off-putting. But I don't like where youth sports has gone, and I think a lot of that traces back to putting the Little League World Series on ESPN and teaching these kids or treating them as if they are Giancarlo Stanton and Clayton Kershaw when they are not. They're little kids. But that's me. Some people on the text line right now are like, he's always been the crotchety old dude. I feel very strongly about it. And like, I know I've got a one-year-old. What does this guy know about youth sports? It's always given me a really bad vibe. But that moment last night between the Dominican Republic and Venezuela, that's what it needs to be about. Because Little League Baseball used to be about that. It didn't used to be about Under Armour endorsement deals and all of the whatever else is going on there. 6:07. Let's talk Major League Baseball, guys that actually get paid to be in the spotlight for losing games like the Dominican pitcher did last night. Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com is with us. And Ed, I want to start today with the Los Angeles Dodgers, who remain red hot. We talked about the 2001 Seattle Mariners, 98 Yankees. This team is looking like it's going to take its place in the pantheon of great teams. Why isn't or why hasn't this been a bigger story up until now, the Dodgers and what they've been doing?
Well, you referenced the 91 Mariners. They won, what was it, 116 games, but they lost in the first round. So when we talk about icon teams, they have to win the World Series. So you're right, the Dodgers have had a great season to date right now. In fact, if they lose their remaining 39 games this year, they will still finish 14 games over 500. But for them to be truly great for this year, I think they have to win the World Series, because if they have another first-round exit, like they have in the past few years when they made the playoffs, I think they'll just go down as another team that did well in the regular season but couldn't cut it in the postseason.
How long until we see Clayton Kershaw back with the Dodgers? It sounds like he thinks that he could pitch for them right now, but it looks like he's headed out on a AAA rehab assignment.
Well, that's one of the great things about being so far ahead for the Dodgers. They don't need to rush Kershaw back. So it's kind of like you have to tamp down the horse a little bit because, like you said, he wants to pitch right now and he thinks he can. But there's also no need to rush him back before he is 100% ready. And that's going to be the key to the Dodgers' postseason run. It's going to be the health of their pitching staff. You take a look at how it's going to wind up. Kershaw, Darvish, Wood, and Rich Hill all four of those starters have had injury problems this year, and two of them are currently on the disabled list, and Alex Wood had got clobbered in his last outing, and there's concerns about him, and has been blister central for the last couple years. So if I'm Dave Roberts, I'm going to be very careful with Clayton Kershaw. He doesn't need much time to get back in, and I'm comfortable if he can just make a couple of starts late in September, I'm fine with that. So there's really no need to rush him back because they need to ride their starting pitching to the playoffs.
You mentioned pitching, health of pitching staffs, and the Cleveland Indians are starting to run away with the American League Central, but today they announced that they're putting Andrew Miller and Danny Salazar on the disabled list. What's the level of concern, especially with Miller, who just came off the disabled list and had one outing, a very short one, he was pulled again and now put back on?
I think Miller is more concerning than Salazar. Salazar, up until his last outing, had been really good since coming off the DL. But I think right now you've got two, three solid starters for the Indians at the top of the rotation for that playoff run. You got Kluber, Carrasco's pitching well. I think Mike Clough, Jason, and Trevor Bauer's been steady in that middle. So, Salazar, if you have him for the postseason, I think that's gravy. It's not necessarily crucial to their drive to the pennant because they pitched the postseason without him last year. So I think that's, again, icing on the cake. The key one is going to be Andrew Miller. His velocity's down because of the knee. If they cannot get that knee healthy, that leaves them with a very inexperienced left-hander in the bullpen, Olson, who's pitched just 12 games, I think 9 innings, something like that. Logan is out for the year. So they really do need to be careful with Miller. They need to make sure that when he does come off this second time that he is 100% healthy. Right now they do have a fairly sizable 5.5-game lead over the Twins in the Central, but we've seen in both Central divisions, whether it be the National or the American League, how these leads can disappear if a team gets hot. So I think as of right now, if they can continue maintaining that 5.5-game lead, they can, again, like the Dodgers with Kershaw, should treat Miller with kid gloves. Being a reliever, he doesn't need to have a lot of time off the DL. A couple, three outings that last week of September, if they can keep him healthy till then, that's all they really need from him. So again, there is no need to rush Andrew Miller back as long as they have that sizable lead in the division, because they need him healthy to get to the get through the postseason.
Ed Krejci of MLBTradeRumors.com joining us on a Tuesday edition of the Todd Bromelkamp Show. Let's stay in the AL Central. The Minnesota Twins going from worst in baseball to fighting for the American League wild card, and a big part of that right now has been the play of Byron Buxton. What do you make of this stretch that Buxton's going through? He's already playing Gold Glove caliber defense, but he is really coming on at the plate.
A long time expected. Throughout his minor league career, he's posted great numbers when healthy, and I think that's been the big key. I think because of where the Twins were in their development, the rebuilding stage, I think they rushed Buxton a little bit. I think they would have been better served to let him get some more experience in the minor leagues before they brought him up. And I think because of that, I think his development stunted a little bit. That lack of confidence when you're facing major league pitching and then being bounced around the last couple years as he was. I think he's finally coming into his own, and I think this is what people expected all along for that, who was a consensus top prospect in baseball for a couple, 3 years.
Which team are you more surprised to see battling for a wild card position in the American League, the Twins or the Angels?
I'm going to go with the Angels. Their pitching has just been riddled with injuries throughout the year. And then losing Mike Trout for as long as they did. I really do believe if Mike Socha can get the Angels into the playoffs, whether it's the first wild card, second wild card, doesn't make a difference. If he can get them into the postseason, I think he is the American League Manager of the Year. They were one game down when Trout went out with his injury. They played 500 ball while he was out, and if they have pitching reinforcements coming back. The reports on Garrett Richards is very encouraging that he could be back for the stretch drive the last couple, 3 weeks of September. Heaney is coming back. So I think they're getting their reinforcements. If they can get that starting pitching rotation in any semblance of order, I think I like their offense. I like the pitching. I think they've got a good shot at securing that second wild card. They're only half game behind the Twins.
Aaron Judge, we knew that he was due for a cool off. People, of course, are blaming this on the home run derby. When you look at Aaron Judge, what do you think is leading to this second half correction?
I think it's just a natural regression. I think it's a combination of, again, this is his first full season in the major league level. There's a little bit of hitting that wall. I think it's also a case of the pitchers are now, they have a bigger book on Judge. They have a better idea of where his weaknesses are. And if they can execute that playbook, this is kind of what you're seeing. I know it's you know, dime store psychology to blame the home run hitting contest, but and I forget who penned the article, but there was an interesting statistical analysis of players, of hitters who participate in the home run hitting contest and those who don't. And their second halves of the season are, you know, statistically identical. So I don't think it's the home run hitting contest that is contributing to Judge's second half. I think it's just simply a natural regression, and I think the league catching up to him a little bit.
Ed, we talked about the ownership situation in Miami and how that clouds what they were going to do, not only at the trade deadline, but also at the waiver deadline. Is there any smoke, or excuse me, is there any fire to the smoke of Giancarlo Stanton clearing waivers?
If he clears waivers, that'd be understandable because that contract is just an albatross, not just around the Marlins' neck, but whoever would claim him. And even if they could work out a trade, I mean, I just don't see him moving this year through the August waiver period. And again, you take a look at the contract, he's got just under $300 million owed him over the life of the contract. There aren't that many teams that can afford that. I know people would just love the idea of the Dodgers somehow swinging that, but again, they want to get under the luxury tax because the penalties are becoming more and more substantial for teams who are over the luxury tax, not just in terms of the luxury tax per se, but also if they decide to sign a free agent who's been tendered a qualifying offer, because that's not going to factor into it. So I think for better or for worse, Stanton is the face of the franchise, and unless they can get a king's ransom for him, I don't think this new ownership group can afford to trade Stanton right now.
Let's talk about this new ownership group a little bit. Derek Jeter has a very small stake in this team, but it sounds like he's going to be involved in the day-to-day baseball operations. And I want to piggyback off of what Alex said with Giancarlo Stanton, because the one thing that Jeffrey Loria did to really cause ill will with that fan base was the constant fire sales of talent. What would the reaction be if new ownership came in and one of their first moves was to try to rid themselves of the Giancarlo Stanton contract?
I think what your question, Todd, is kind of, there's two prongs to that. Trying to get rid of him and actually consummating a trade. If you have weeks and weeks and months of endless speculation that Stanton is on the trade block and they're trying to move him, I think you're going to have Loria part two as far as the fan reaction. But if they consummate a trade fairly quickly without a lot of buildup of rumors, and they can get a king's ransom of really top-tier prospects who are major league ready to go along with a Yelich, a Real Muto, even supplement D. Gordon, then I think, and adding to it that it's going to free up a lot of cash, I think the fan base will be grumpy at first, but I think they'll come around to it. If any talk of a Stanton trade or a consummation of a Stanton trade is seen purely as a salary dump, that is not the right foot for this new ownership group to get started on in Miami.
So the Chicago White Sox, they called Yon Moncada up a couple of months ago. They bring up Reynaldo Lopez. Lucas Giolito makes his first start of the season. Carson Fulmer has been called up. We were talking about this yesterday, but what are your thoughts on the call-ups of some of these young guys late in the season in what is already kind of a lost rebuilding season for the Southsiders?
Well, they need pitching, and I think this is a nice way to kind of with Lopez, I think he's going to come up in September anyway. And you have holes in the rotation to fill. He was at AAA, and I think this is a good way to get him some major league experience and get a head start on 2018. Fulmer, I was up just for the 26th man, if I recall correctly. So this is, and if he stays, I think it's along the same lines of Lopez. Giolito, I'm interested to see when he comes up. They've got Kopech up at the AAA. If these guys can handle the AAA pitching, there's plenty of room right now in that rotation, not just this year, but for also 2018 for the White Sox. Get a little bit of a preview. And I think also, most importantly, they have spent the entire year rebuilding. You've got these great prospects. They have what is regarded as the best farm system now in baseball. And I think if you bring up some of those who are AAA, who've had the experience of AAA, that you feel are Major League ready, bring them up now in August and September. Get that fan base a little excited by seeing some of these kids who they've acquired. And if they have a little bit of success, that gets the fan base energized for the offseason. And God knows, the South Side can use all the ticket help they can get. So they can get a little bit of that energy with the fan base for seeing what they can get. Like August and September of 2018, I don't think it's a wasted effort on the White Sox regarding service time.
Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com joining us on the program. National League Central race, the Cubs in first place, 2.5 up on your Milwaukee Brewers, 3.5 up on St. Louis, and whoever wins this division realizes they're probably going to wind up with the Washington Nationals in the first round of the National League playoffs. What are your thoughts on the race at this point?
You cut out there, Todd. Can you repeat the question for me?
I was just asking you about the National League Central race and knowing that whoever wins is likely going to have to face the Washington Nationals in the first round of the playoffs.
Right now, again, I think if the Cubs can stay healthy, Lester going on the DL is not a good sign. Lackey's pitched better, but it's going to be an interesting battle in the Central. You still have to favor the Cubs because of the talent level they have and the streakiness of the Milwaukee Brewers. But I really think if you can get your pitching rotation set up, I think it's going to be a very interesting setup between Dusty Baker's Nationals and the Cubs. And again, Scherzer's on the DL. Strasburg is coming off the DL. You've got the two teams who have had, you know, the Nationals have had a coast so far. That helps with their getting their rotation set for the playoffs. And the Cubs have really just treaded water. They got hot a little bit after the All-Star break. If they can find that magic again, I think that's going to be a very fun division series, especially if they can get the starters healthy. The one thing about the Cubs, they do not hit left-handers well. So Gio Gonzalez backing up Strasburg, backing up Scherzer, that's going to be an interesting rotation for the Nationals. I think it should be a very good series if that does come to fruition.
Ben Zobrist has had a rough season for the Chicago Cubs. Addison Russell coming, at least looking like his return is going to come sooner rather than later. Is it possible that we see Zobrist with a little less playing time when Addison Russell returns?
You'll see some less, but I think the way Joe Mann is his managing is that he'll find at-bats for Zobrist because, again, he's a veteran. The only way a veteran's going to get out of the slump is by hitting and getting his at-bats, and you want to make sure that he is ready and confident for the postseason. I think you've got enough at-bats in that with the outfield, giving Baez a rest, when Russell gets a rest, easing him in there. I think Zobrist will probably go down to playing maybe 3 or 4 times a week. But I still think he's going to give him some at-bats because, again, he's a trusted veteran. And that's somebody Joe Maddon, I think, has confidence putting in that lineup, regardless if he's hitting well or not.
Ed, we appreciate it as always. And we're not going to touch base with you until after the end of the month, which means this is the last time that we've got you before the waiver trade deadline. Do you think we're going to see anybody move that sort of causes baseball fans to raise their eyebrow here in the next week or so?
I don't think so. I think the most of the big names have either been claimed and pulled back or have already been traded. The Mets are the ones who are going to clean house. They've already got most of their talent out with Bruce, Walker, and Granderson. There may be somebody who's interested in Cabrera to take them off their hands, but I'd be very surprised this late in the August waiver period if there's going to be a monster move made because, again, most of the players who interesting to other teams have either been claimed and pulled back or they've already passed through. And but you never know. A big injury in the final week, that could spur things. But right now, there probably won't be any major players dealt in the next 10 days.
Ed, we appreciate it. Enjoy what's left of the baseball season, and we'll chat with you in a couple weeks.
All right. Thanks, guys. Enjoy Labor Day.
Ed Creech, MLBTradeRumors.com. He brings up Labor Day. That's right. It's right around the corner, and that means baseball season, at least here locally with the Cedar Rapids Colonels, is coming to an end as well. They've got one final homestand of the regular season left with the Burlington Bees, and then it's the postseason and the Kane County Cougars. That's actually where they're at tonight in Geneva, Illinois, the first of 3 games. Kyle will tell you all about it coming up in just a little bit on his next Big Board update. You look like you have more baseball thoughts.
I I think the NL Central, and Ed talked about it a little bit, is going to be one of those divisions where it's going to come right down to that last week. Have you done any schedule watching as to who the Cubs are playing in September?
All I know is that they start a three-game series with the Reds tonight, and then they play three games in Philadelphia against the Phillies. Both of those teams are dead last in their division. So this six-game stretch, granted it's on the road away from Wrigley Field, but the games they've got coming up in this period are big because they need to win against these teams that are, you know, sub 500. I think 27 of their last 31 or something like that, 500 or worse teams. So now is the time to make hay if you're the Cubs, especially when you've still got some guys who are on the disabled list without Lester, without Addison Russell. And then what happens when those guys come back is anybody's guess, especially Addison Russell, because Joe Maddon said today on 670 The Score in Chicago, hey man, and he actually did say relatively close to this, Addison Russell is our starting shortstop, man. When he comes back, he is the starting shortstop. So you got Javier Baez, El Mago, the magician, on the field, and he, four home runs last week? I mean, if Anthony Rizzo wasn't National League Player of the Week, you had Javier Baez, who was trying to make his case for that honor. It's interesting, and I think, you look at Ben Zobrist, who's the veteran guy, a big contract. He struggled all season long. World Series MVP, what do you do? And I think if you're Joe Maddon, you have to do what you feel is best for your team winning games. And right now, that may be playing Russell and Baez and giving Zobrist some rest when he comes back. So I wish I had the answer. If I had the answer, I'd be working in a front office and I wouldn't be here.
That'll be interesting to follow as well. But I look at the Cubs schedule and the Cardinals schedule and the Brewers schedule, and the Cubs and Cardinals have very similar schedules as to September. The Cardinals play the Giants, the Padres, the Reds twice, and then at the end of the season, a four-game series against the Cubs and then a three-game series against the Milwaukee Brewers. So the Cubs right now can make a lot of ground. They have a 3.5 game lead. They're playing the Reds, the Cardinals starting a four-game series with the Padres. And then at the end of the season, I just have this feeling that there's going to be a lot of scoreboard watching, whether it's the Cubs and the Brewers, the Cubs and the Cardinals, or all three of them battling it out to see who is going to take the division, because all three of those teams have chances head-to-head to make up some ground in the NL Central. This is going to be a fascinating finish to the season.
627, let's take caller number 6 right now, 319-366. Just hit a random button. Oh, he hit the phone. How about that? 366-1600. Caller number 6, you are going to get 4 wristbands that will get you into the Pork Tornadoes concert at Fry Fest, among all of the other things going on next Friday in Coralville. 366-1600. We'll find out who caller number 6 is when we return after this. Good luck. Back with more on the way.
At Lowe's, we know that pros need to be ready. Ready with supplies, ready to get to work. So every day at Lowe's, when pro customers buy in bulk, they get up to 20% off GAF shingles and up to 30% off Owens Corning insulation. And now through September 13th at Lowe's, pros get up to 30% off select in-stock Hitachi tools and fasteners. Visit the Pro Desk or lowesforpros.com for details. Minimum purchase required for shingles and insulation discounts. Selection varies by store, U.S. only.
A Wendy's Frosty is something special. And for a limited time, a Frosty is just 50 cents. An American classic for a classic price. It's not quite a milkshake, not quite an ice cream cone. It's definitely chocolate or vanilla. That choice is on you. Use a spoon or a French fry. Anything goes. A Frosty makes summer special. Yep, there's nothing quite like a Frosty. And there's nothing quite like this deal. A Frosty for 50 cents. Get yours before this deal melts away.
Small Frosty only at participating Wendy's for a limited time. Offer not valid in Alaska and Hawaii.
Need auto parts? Get them with a click at the new O'ReillyAuto.com. Shop online and we'll ship the order to your home, or you can pick them up for free at the O'Reilly Auto Parts store nearest you. The choice is yours. Shop the way that's convenient for you and get the exact parts you need to get the job done right. O'ReillyAuto.com. Parts for your car wherever you are.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You know that Airgas USA, LLC, is one of the nation's leading suppliers of industrial, medical, and specialty gases. But did you know we also carry welding and safety supplies, hardware and tools, and offer MRO products and services to industrial and commercial vendors? We do, and we have a location right here in Cedar Rapids on C Avenue Northeast. So the bottom line, Airgas USA, LLC, has gas, welding, and safety supplies. We're 30 years strong and getting stronger. See us at airgas.com.
It's only 16 days until the NFL kicks off the 2017 season. Don't miss a minute of the action. Get NFL Red Zone from NFL Network now. Every game, Sunday, Monday, and Thursday. NFL Red Zone from NFL Network is available on Mediacom. Call 855-MEDIACOM to order now.
Welcome back. It is 6:30, right on the nose. It's the Todd Bromelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn and our producer Kyle Mann, taking you up till 7 o'clock tonight. Congratulations to Joe in Marengo. He's our winner of the four wristbands for the FryFest festivities next Friday. We'll tell you a little bit more about them coming up. We are excited to once again be doing the show from 4 until 7 at the trade show, so stop on by the booth. Say hi. We are again this year giving out cards that will have numbers on them, and you can listen then on Monday for your chance to hear your number called, and I think it's $100 or something like that, a very nice cash prize. All you have to do is stop by, grab a card, and then listen on Monday. Not this coming Monday, but the Monday after FryFest, when, of course, we'll be breaking down Iowa and Wyoming in the season opener. It's hard to believe, but we are almost there. What is it now? I believe 9 days. We've got college football next Thursday night. We'll be talking about Ohio State, Indiana, a couple other games. I think Minnesota, don't they open on a Thursday against Buffalo maybe?
They do.
So plenty to get to, and it's just right around the corner. But stop on by. Make sure you say hi. It's the KGYM Road Trip driven by Linder Tire next Friday from the Coach's Corner, from FryFest this Friday. We are, of course, at Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City. Before we get to Kyle's big board update, lay this on people, because I know SportsCenter has touched on this, but it certainly sounds as if this is going through. This is, I don't want to say it's unprecedented, because somebody will remind me that maybe this has happened before. You've got two teams in the NBA who played each other in the Eastern Conference Finals, the one seed and the two seed, consummating a deal that's going to possibly ensure that they're going to be meeting as the one and two seeds in the Eastern Conference Finals again next year. As a Celtics follower, I can't say fan because I haven't been a fan of them for a long time, but I still follow them at a distance. This is a big deal. Kyrie Irving on the move to Boston.
The Celtics are sending in return a package that includes Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder, another player, and Brooklyn's 2018 first-round selection.
Which was, the possibility is that pick is going to be...
Depends on the way the lottery...
That's probably number one.
Very, very high up in the lottery, most likely. Big stuff out of the NBA. I'm sure we'll have more on it for you tomorrow here on the Todd Bromelkamp Show. But right now, we talked about FryFest. They are the presenting sponsor once again this year, Midwest One Bank. They also present big board updates. Here's Kyle Mann.
Kirk Ferentz announced this morning that defensive back Manny Rugumba will be sitting out the season opener against Wyoming because of a one-game suspension as a result of an off-season violation of team rules. Ferentz suggested the team has been aware of this suspension for some time and has been preparing replacements throughout camp. Senior linebacker Josie Jewell was named a preseason first-team All-American by the Associated Press today, marking his second first-team All-America distinction to go along with a handful of watch lists. Iowa also landed a commitment today from 2018 defensive back DJ Johnson out of Indiana. He's a four-star and the state's top-ranked cornerback, according to 24/7, and chose Iowa over an offer from Notre Dame. The Iowa baseball team run-ruled Team Russia this morning, winning 13-3 in seven innings and clinching a spot in the medal round. Iowa's first three batters, Chris Whalen, Ben Norman, and Robert Nystrom, combined to go for 8-for-13 with 9 RBI and 3 runs. Iowa's next game is tonight against Japan at 10 p.m. Central Time. The Colonels are 8-2 since number one overall pick Royce Lewis was promoted to Cedar Rapids, and they'll look to take that momentum on the road tonight against Kane County. It'll be Brian Sammons on the hill for the Colonels and Connor Gray for the Cougars. That game's getting ready to start right now. The Twins and White Sox had a late night last night, squeezing in and splitting a doubleheader in Chicago. We've got them again tonight after the show with Minnesota's Kyle Gibson against Lucas Giolito in his White Sox debut. That'll get started at 7:10 on 107.5 FM, The North Gym.
6:34, when we come back, you will hear from Brian Ferentz as well as Phil Parker and Kirk Ferentz, the Iowa head coach and coordinators, meeting with the media in Iowa City earlier today. You're listening to the Todd Brolecamp Show right here on KGYM.
When the game is on the line, you put the ball in the hands of your best player because they always perform under pressure. And at Valvoline, we too believe performance comes from hands-on expertise. That's why we created Valvoline Full Synthetic, specially formulated to provide maximum engine protection against friction and wear. So when performance counts, put your engine in the right hands. Valvoline, 150 years under the hood. Visit AutoZone now and buy 5 quarts of Valvoline Full Synthetic and an oil filter starting at $32.99. See store for restrictions and details.
A Wendy's Frosty is something special. And for a limited time, a Frosty is just 50 cents. An American classic for a classic price. It's not quite a milkshake, not quite an ice cream cone. It's definitely chocolate or vanilla. That choice is on you. Use a spoon or a French fry. Anything goes. A Frosty makes summer special. Yep, there's nothing quite like a Frosty. And there's nothing quite like this deal. A Frosty for 50 cents. Get yours before this deal melts away.
Small Frosty only at participating Wendy's for a limited time. Offer not valid in Alaska and Hawaii.
I met someone. It's something you hear a lot from people on Match. Because more people have met their someone on Match than any other dating app. Everyone wants to find that meaningful connection. Match is number one in first, but also in second dates too. Now I'm going to hook you up. For my listeners, go to match.com/sports for 7 days free. That's 7 days completely free to search and connect for my listeners. This free offer is only found at match.com/sports. That's match.com/sports.
Summer involves a lot of driving. To camp, to work, to the pool, back home to get what they forgot, then back to the pool again. Wouldn't you like to know your car is up for it? With Hum by Verizon, you can check your car's health from your phone with vehicle diagnostics, have peace of mind with emergency assistance, and get expert advice from certified mechanics. Hum is the smarter, more connected way to get where you're going. Right now, buy HumX and get a $50 Visa prepaid card. Learn more at hum.com. Offer valid 6-1 through 9-4 device payment plan or 2-year agreement required. See vzw.com for details.
Welcome back in. It is 6:36, the Todd Brolecamp Show coming your way on KGYM. Don't forget, stop on by the website today, kgymradio.com. Vote in the Emil's Hideaway poll question, which is having to do with something that we barely have even touched on today. Maybe it's more grist for the mill tomorrow, but the Big Ten reportedly, according to John Rothstein, who writes for CBSSports.com, looking at next season in men's basketball and presumably women's basketball as well, going to a 20-game Big Ten schedule, which would have repercussions then for the non-conference schedule, just as going to a 9-game football schedule has certainly affected non-conference schedules. Although Wisconsin doesn't seem to be afraid of beefing up some of its non-conference matchups. They announced today a home-and-home series, 2029 and 2030, with UCLA. That 2029 game will be played in Pasadena in the Rose Bowl, and in 2030 they will meet in Camp Randall on the UW-Madison campus. 319-366-1600. I think everybody in Eastern Iowa is in college football mode. As we mentioned, the Hawkeyes kicking off the season September 2nd against Wyoming. Phil Parker and Brian Ferentz met with the media in Iowa City earlier today, as did head coach Kirk Ferentz, where he announced the one-game suspension of cornerback Manny Rugumba. It looks like it's Josh Jackson and Michael Ojemudia moving forward on the depth chart as they get ready to take on Josh Allen, one of the top quarterback draft prospects in college football. Kirk Ferentz talking about the depth in the secondary without Manny Rugumba and his comfort level with where they are heading into next Saturday's home opener.
How comfortable do you feel with Ojemudia? I mean, Rugumba's...
Well, I think we've had three guys playing well in camp, so the challenge really is to find the fourth guy and fifth. You know, that's where we're at right now. All three of those guys, I think, since the spring have been playing at a pretty good level, and... You know, if I had to name the next guy at this point, it'd be Matt Hankins, a freshman. So, but you know, we got time to make those decisions too. And, you know, we've known about this, as I alluded to. So, you know, we've been working with that in mind, and you know, we'll be right.
How big of a deal is Manny Rugumba not being available in week one? 319-366-1600. Phil Parker, we don't really have any clips of him talking about losing Manny Rugumba on the defensive side of the ball, but we've got his insight into the quarterback that they will be facing. And again, Josh Allen probably not going to win the Heisman Trophy in Laramie this year, but NFL scouts are already looking at him as a potential franchise quarterback type, a Carson Wentz, if you will. The North Dakota State and Wyoming comparisons are hard to get away from because of Craig Bohl. Here's what Phil Parker had to say about the quarterback Hawkeye fans will be seeing in Kinnick Stadium next Saturday.
You know, he has a very strong arm. I think he's very composed. You know, they're well coached. He knows what he's doing in the offense, and they do a very good job of just, you know, moving him where he can have the chance to be successful. I mean, I think this thing to me is his strong arm, how he throws the ball to the deep outside. I mean, I really think he puts it on a rope.
It's Phil Parker. Let's get just go in and without any setup, any commentary here. Let's hear the next Phil Parker clip.
Do you feel like this defense could be a more aggressive unit than maybe we've seen in the past, as far as like pressure and that kind of thing?
Well, we're not a big, you know, we were like 10% last year pressure. I think when you play good, sound football, that leads to belief. You know, like there's no need to pressure if you're playing aggressive football. You know, whether you say, hey, we're playing aggressively. You know, does that mean physical attacking, or do you mean aggressively trying to gamble? Yeah. You know, to me, gambling, you know, I don't like to gamble. You know, so I want to make sure we put a good, sound, fundamental defense in anything that we do. You definitely got to have pressure when you need it, and I think there's times when you got to pick and choose when you go. But I think the guys that we have understand our blitzes, so it'll be very easy to run our blitzes every night without any mental errors.
What do you think of that?
He doesn't like to gamble.
He's not a gambler.
Doesn't like to blitz. Hey, just want to play sound defense.
Phil, I got tickets to see Kenny Rogers in Dubuque. Nah, I'm not into the gambler. I don't gamble. Not into the gambler. The Green Bay Gamblers, the USHL team. No, if the Rough Riders are playing, won't go see him. Nothing to do with gambling whatsoever. No surprise. I mean, that's Phil Parker. We've known him all 19 seasons on Kirk Ferentz's staff, and the last six plus as the defensive coordinator after taking over for the late, great Norm Parker, no relation. Here's Brian Ferentz talking about, let's go ahead and, I think a lot of Hawkeye fans are interested in the two new faces that have joined the team in the last couple months. That would be James Butler, the running back, and Matt Quarles, the wide receiver out of New Mexico, both transferring from the Mountain West. Brian Ferentz talking about some fresh faces.
Brian, kind of a unique situation. The graduate transfers, experienced but new to the system. How are they fitting in?
They're doing well. You know, James has come along pretty quickly. I think it's a little easier, really, if you're running back. I don't want to oversimplify, but it's pretty much run right, run left. Block left, block right. So I think that's been a little bit easier. You know, Matt, he wasn't with us at the beginning of camp. We're working through some admissions issues. So once we got him in, he's progressed very nicely. But again, there's just so much volume for a receiver. You know, I think he's still coming along. But James has done a nice job. I'd expect James to step in right away and play for us.
All right. You really want to hear Kirk Ferentz, or you really want to hear Brian Ferentz talking about the quarterbacks, don't you? We've got a couple clips of him. Let's go ahead and play these back-to-back here. This is Brian Ferentz talking about the quarterbacks, and then you'll hear him discussing their skill sets.
Is there strength and weaknesses to each guy that you
know? You know, certainly I think there's always strength and weakness to any player or any of us. But as far as what we're looking for to manage the offense and do the things we're asking them to do, both guys are extremely capable. And it's just going to come down to what we feel is best for the team, what gives us the best chance to win. But I said it 3 weeks ago, I'll say it again. I think we'd be silly or foolish if we didn't think we were going to need both guys before it was all said and done.
How much do you think you'll have to tweak the game plan depending on who you guys decide is the starter in the first week?
I think you're always going to try to game plan to you know, suit your strengths or your weaknesses. So each quarterback has different abilities. But I would tell you that overall, based on what we're doing offensively, we've taken account so many things at other spots too. I think the plan would be very similar for either guy.
There you go, a little bit of Brian Ferentz earlier today in Iowa City. Hawkeye fans, What do you think after hearing from the coordinators? 319-366-1600. I heard some familiar voices in there as well. Scott Savel from KCRG, Darren Miller, who works at the University of Iowa, and, of course, the two coordinators. This will be the last time that we hear from them, most likely, until Iowa's bye week. Hawkeye football right around the corner, and that means Fry Fest also. Don't forget, join us next Friday in Coralville as we do the show there on site. Mitch King, Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com. The big hour, hour number three on the program coming up on Friday. This quarterback situation, I think it certainly sounds, and Kirk said as much today, that they're hoping or will name a starting quarterback by Monday, because then on Tuesday the players are going to be asked about it before he's available to the media. I still think at this point that it's Nathan Stanley. I wouldn't say that it's his job to lose, but I would say that it's going to be him. Why? What I mean by that is I don't think he's got a firm enough grasp on it where he can coast to the finish line. This is literally two guys at a dead sprint, and whoever crosses the tape Monday morning is going to be the guy.
I think it would really put somewhat of a damper of enthusiasm on the enthusiasm of the season if Nathan Stanley was not named the starting quarterback.
You're telling me if Ferentz comes out on Monday and says that Uyghurs is the guy, that it's pitchforks and torches and mob mentality?
Maybe not quite, but there's going to be some anger for sure. And I think that has to do with two things. You go back to last year, and the elephant in the room was that Nathan Stanley was the backup quarterback. And that somebody asked Kirk today whether he clearly beat Tyler Uyghurs out last year or not. And he said he didn't beat him by a lot, but it was a decision they had to make. If you're blowing a guy's red shirt in his freshman season, there has to be at least a little bit of separation there, or a good amount of separation there. And that's what Nathan Stanley proved last year. He can do things physically that Tyler Uyghurs cannot. And then you saw during the spring game, neither quarterback really stood out. And then during the fall, there's been this battle. We haven't been in it practice every day, but we saw a little bit. We saw a practice on Saturday, a kids' day practice, and then the BTN crew was there on Monday and echoed a lot of the same thoughts that fans and media members alike had, that Nathan Stanley was probably going to be the quarterback. So if Kirk Ferentz comes out on Monday and says it's Tyler Uyghurs, I think there are going to be a lot of upset people. There's no question about that. And it might, I'm not going to say a take away from the excitement of that game against Wyoming, but it's certainly not going to do anything to help it, especially after the suspension of Manny Rugumba.
The Jerry Ask Investment Services text line, 9761, seems weird that they think they can run the same game plan with either quarterback. Aren't they hoping they utilize Stanley's stronger arm? Well, I mean, this isn't Kyle McCann and Brad Banks here. You've got two quarterbacks who are, granted, they're different, but they're the same. I mean, I don't think you've got to reinvent the playbook for one over the other. And Brian Ferentz talked about this at Media Day at the start of the month, too. There seems to be a lot of people out there that think, man, that vertical passing game is just going to be off the chain this year. I don't think Brian Ferentz is having his quarterback chuck the ball 25, 30 yards downfield. No. Iowa has talked about ball control offense for years, and the further you go from the line of scrimmage as far as throwing the ball, the more likelihood that something bad happens. And so whether you like it or not, I think that element of the Greg Davis, Ken O'Keefe offense sort of carries over, and you're seeing a lot of passes well within the 10-yard range of one another. It's just that's the way that Kirk Ferentz operates, and it's a conservative game plan, conservative by design, and it's not necessarily a bad way to go about things, especially when you've got a power running game like the Hawkeyes have. Because if you can ground and pound and then get your yards through the air when you need it, little chunk here, little chunk there, keep pounding the ball on the ground with Wadley and Butler, I think this year, especially behind that offensive line, that can be a recipe for success. But this air raid, Air Coryell wish list that some people have, I mean, that Nathan Stanley's not Dan Fouts.
C.J. Beathard was sacked 30.
He doesn't have a beard.
C.J. Beathard was sacked 29 times in 2015 and 30 times in 2016. This is an offensive line that's built, like you said, to run the football and for the short passing game, and has shown a little bit of struggle holding up when a quarterback needs a little bit more time. And you combine that with the fact that you're breaking in a new quarterback and you don't want to ruin him right away by getting him killed. So combine that fact, those two facts, the fact that you have two really good running backs and very few experienced wide receivers, I don't understand why people think that there's just automatically you sprinkle some fairy dust on the offense and all of a sudden they're going to be running Chip Kelly's offense and airing the ball out. That's probably not going to happen, especially you have two running backs that are very good in the passing game. You have a couple of tight ends who are good possession wide receivers. So I think there might be a little bit more of a passing game this year, but it's going to be the short passing game variety. But like you said, ball control offense, utilize the personnel that they have, and right now they don't have the personnel to air the ball out 50 times a game and stretch the field like a lot of fans want them to.
I just want that breaking glass sound effect on Monday and people to say, by God, that's Jake Rudock's music. And Rudock comes kicking in the door. It almost feels like this is the setup for a similar situation. And that goes back to you mentioning Tyler Wiegers. If Wiegers wins the job, there's that vibe there that if he wins the job, I think he's going to be looked at similarly the way that some of the fans viewed Jake Rudock when you had C.J. Beathard there as well, who, by the way, looks really good in San Francisco. And where are all the people that are, I know they're out there, people that are questioning whether or not Iowa held Beathard and Kittle back because of what they've shown in the preseason.
Oh, you didn't see that tweet?
No.
It was from a national media member. I'll have to pull it up verbatim.
No, I'm assuming somebody actually said that.
Yes, and I will have that tweet for you before the end of the... Yep, here it is right now. This would be from... What?
More power to them if that's what they think.
This would be Jason Hirschborn of Sports on Earth. The tweet reads, "Turns out the only thing that can slow down C.J. Beathard and George Kittle is Kirk Ferentz."
Yeah, this is right up there with the fake news. If you think a college football coach is going to willingly choose to not highlight or not get the most out of some of the players on his roster, for whatever tinfoil hat reason, there's no reasoning with you. There's not a coach in the country that goes into a locker room and goes, man, that guy's got all the talent in the world. I'm going to make sure that I put a governor on him and keep him at about 68-70%. Because I don't want to blow the lid off everybody. Because No. I can't believe I was trying to be facetious. Somebody actually did say that.
Yes.
The system, maybe. The coach, no. 319-366-1600-653. We'll take a quick break. We didn't get to the basketball schedule stuff today, but I think that's going to be, let's just say it's a little bit of a green banana right now. The story just came out today, and I think that if we leave it on the counter at home, that it will ripen overnight. We can still get to that story tomorrow, and it won't feel like it's too stale. We'll take a quick break. We come back. Kyle's going to have a big board update for you. Colonels underway in Geneva, taking on the Kane County Cougars tonight in that preview of what's to come in the Midwest League's Western Division semifinal series this year. More of the Todd Bromelkamp Show on the way after this.
Cedar Rapids Iowa City HelpWanted.com salutes the employee of the month, the one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
Dave, are you stealing from the vending machine?
No, Mr. Employee of the Month.
Well, your desk is littered with like hundreds of snacks.
I merely exposed a loophole by reaching my arm through the flap thingy. Does that sound like stealing to you?
Yes.
granola bar?
If you don't mind hiring Dave's, go to the national job boards. They may be free, but trust us, they'll cost you. We make it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, helpwanted.com. Local jobs that work.
In case you haven't been to a Twins game lately, here's what you missed. Jose, can you see the players take the field? Twins get a hit and a run and another. And whoa, doggy, another five in the fifth. Oh, cute, it's the kiss cam. A jumbo screen proposal in the crowd goes, aw. Bullseye wins the mascot race. Peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back to the action. It's Buxton on one. Dozier with a single. Can he do it? Will he make it? Holy smokes. Buxton scores from first. That's 30.6 feet per second for all you stat geeks. Twins get the win. And cue the standing ovation because boom goes the dynamite. Stop missing out. Change up your summer with tickets at twinsbaseball.com.
Two of the state's best high school football programs lock horns this Friday night on KGYN. Join Alex Kuhn and Gary Fickle this Friday at 7 on 107.5 and 106.3 FM as 3A number 3 rated Cedar Rapids Xavier travels to 1A top rated Iowa City Regina. Both the Saints and Regals made it to the Dome a year ago and start the season with this big non-district showdown. That's high school football presented by First Federal Credit Union. 3A number 3 Xavier at 1A number 1 Regina. Friday night at 7 on 107.5 and 106.3 FM. KGYM.
Man, it sounds like you're calling the 85 Bears game, and I love it. By the way, speaking of that...
That doesn't get you hyped for the game. I don't know what will.
Speaking of commercials, that Twins commercial just rubs me the wrong way because it is Peanuts and Cracker Jack. It's like saying RBIs. Peanuts and Cracker Jack. And I know this is always stuck in my craw. I had a high school teammate of mine who passed away at a very young age, and at his funeral... We sang, he wanted everybody to sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game at his funeral, and he was very adamant that you sing the correct words to the song, and it is Peanuts and Cracker Jack, not Cracker Jacks. Let's send a message to the Minnesota Twins, maybe get that fixed. Of course not. It is 6:56. We can't get out of here on a Tuesday without one final Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Here's Kyle Mann.
Kirk Ferentz announced this morning that defensive back Manny Rugumba will be sitting out the season opener against Wyoming because of a one-game suspension as a result of an off-season violation of team rules. Ferentz suggested the team has been aware of the suspension for some time and has been preparing replacements throughout camp. Senior linebacker Josie Jewell was named a preseason first-team All-American by the Associated Press today, marking his second first-team All-America distinction to go along with a handful of watch lists. Iowa also landed a commitment today from 2018 defensive back DJ Johnson out of Indiana. He's a four-star in the state's top-ranked cornerback, according to 24/7, and he chose Iowa over an offer from Notre Dame. The Iowa baseball team run-ruled Team Russia this morning, winning 13-3 in seven innings and clinching a spot in the medal round. Iowa's top three batters, Chris Whalen, Ben Norman, and Robert Nystrom, combined to go 8-for-13 with 9 RBI and 3 runs. Iowa's next game is tonight against Japan at 10 p.m. Central. The Colonels are 8-2 since number one overall pick Royce Lewis was promoted to Cedar Rapids, and they'll look to take that momentum on the road tonight against Kane County. It's Brian Sammons on the hill for the Colonels and Connor Gray for the Cougars. That game got started just a little bit ago, and Kane County leads that one 1-0 in the middle of the second. The Twins and White Sox had a late night last night, squeezing in and splitting a doubleheader in Chicago. We've got them again tonight after the show with Minnesota's Kyle Gibson against Lucas Giolito. That's going to get started here shortly after the show on 107.5 FM, The North Gym.
Great show today. Big thank you to George Kittle for joining us. My apologies to you, the listener, for the bad phone connection there with him on the West Coast, but it sounds like we had him on the practice field. Ed Creech of MLBTradeRumors.com was with us also today, and Jeremiah Davis of the Cedar Rapids Gazette talking a little NASCAR with us. 90 seconds of NASCAR. Should that be a thing? Vote on Twitter at Todd Brommelkamp, and if it is, you'll make Jeremiah a very happy man. Join us tomorrow. We'll have the 6 o'clock showdown and a whole lot more. Enjoy your Tuesday night.
In case you haven't been to a Twins game lately, here's what you missed. Jose, can you see the players take the field? Twins get a hit and a run and another. And whoa, doggy, another five in the fifth. Oh, cute, it's the kiss cam. A jumbo screen proposal in the crowd goes, aw. Bullseye wins the mascot race. Peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back to the action. It's